Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. From Mark chapter 9, starting at verse 38, John said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him, because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not stop him, for no one who does a mighty work in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. For the one who is not against us is for us." Back in our reading, our Old Testament reading of Numbers, we have the boy coming out to tell Moses that Eldad and Medad were prophesying in the camp, not like the rest of everybody else, so we should probably stop them from doing what they're doing. And Moses' reply is, "I wish that everybody was doing what they were doing. Don't stop them." So we see in our readings today, both the Old Testament and the Gospel, a clash. And the clash is human desire to control things and God working in ways that we can't control. See, that's I always go back to the basic desire for every human being ever created, besides Jesus, because he was begotten, not made. Remember, that's the creed, that's what we confess. Everybody else has had some desire for power and control. It's our basic human nature. We want to control things. And so we see in our two readings today, people who wanted to control the way God was working. That's ultimately what it comes down to. We want to tell God how to do stuff. And when he's not doing stuff the way that we think he ought to do stuff, we want him to stop it, because he's not doing it the way that we think he ought to do it. Now, I know that all of us in here are basically humans like everyone else, right? We all struggle with power and control. We all want things to go a certain way. We all have our rituals. We all have our systems. We all have our habits. Things that are supposed to go a certain way. And when they don't, boy, things are really a mess. I know how mine shows up sometimes when I go into a store. Maybe, you know, it could be any store around here, Fred's or Safeway or something, and they've rearranged. And you go in and you go, "I can't find anything now. And this is not the way it's supposed to be. It's supposed to have all of the aisles the way that they're supposed to be, and they're not supposed to rearrange everything." And it throws your whole day off. That's the way we are. We're sensitive to that kind of thing. We like to have things in order. We like things to go a certain way. And the church is not exempt from that, by the way. And in fact, throughout history, the church has been a real proponent of doing things a certain way and no other. Right? Throughout history, the church has been known to say, "This is the way we do things, and if you don't do things the way we do things, then you aren't doing things right, so you should stop." And then get in line and do things the way you're supposed to do things. If you've known anything about the history of the church, you know that to be true. You've seen it. Even in our progressive modern church, you still see it when some church does something a little different and the other churches go, "Well, wait, that's not church. You're not supposed to do it that way." Back in the day, it was the battle of the hymnals, right? The blue hymnal versus the red hymnal. The blue hymnal, you can't use the blue hymnal. That's too much. You gotta use the red hymnal. Then the green hymnal comes out, and then the burgundy hymnal comes out, and it's all a mess because nobody knows what hymnal they're supposed to use. And if you're not using the one that they say you're supposed to use, then you're not using the right one. Okay, it goes along with, you know, worship music is the same, screens in the sanctuary is the same thing. All of this stuff that we as a church like to have in order, and when it's not done that way, it's the wrong way. And they should stop and get back to doing it the right way. We have all sorts of systems in place for that. We look at even our catechism system of 7th and 8th grade go through catechism at a certain age, and that's the way we do it. And if you do it early, that's not the way you're supposed to do it, so you gotta wait. And if you wait till later, well, you already kind of missed stuff, so you might as well just keep going. And it gets all sort of discombobulated, and we don't like it. We like things to be in order. So Jesus is there with his disciples, and John, of all people, thought it would be Peter who might speak up. But John comes and says, Jesus, there's this guy over here casting out demons using your name, and we as disciples, tried to stop him because he wasn't doing it the way that he should be by following us. He was doing it wrong. He was out of order. He should be doing it with us. Get back in line. And what does Jesus say? Go and stop him because, you know, he might be doing it wrong. No. Jesus says, no, don't stop him. Don't try and stop him. God is at work through him. Let him keep going and doing his work. You worry about where you're supposed to be. Don't worry about what that guy is doing. In fact, he is helping us. Let him keep going. God is at work in him. Let that happen. And in our Old Testament reading, you had the man come in and say, Moses, we got to stop these guys from prophesying. And Moses says, I wish everybody did. Don't stop them. Let them keep going. And I wish that everybody were doing the same thing. And so the frustration. Got to stop them. We can't have them going out of order. We can't have them doing things the wrong way. And what we see, what our eyes are open to seeing now, is that God works in all sorts of ways. God works in ways that we have no idea what he's up to. God works in ways that seem very contrary to us, or at least out of order, and yet God is still at work. And this is the beauty of the work of the Holy Spirit. He will continue to work. Despite our tries to stop him, despite our attempts to corral him and put him in the line, he will continue to work in ways that he wants to, and where he wants to, and when he wants to, and with whom he wants to. That's the way God is. He does stuff like that. And the reminder isn't to sort of squish us under his thumb and say, well, you know, you need to realize this, that the wonder is that he still works with us. Us who want to keep him in the line, he still works with us. When we see Moses not stopping the people from prophesying, when we see Jesus not stopping this guy from casting out demons, we see a glimpse of God at work bigger than we can imagine. In more ways than we can comprehend. And with all sorts of people that we haven't ever seen. And then we see that Jesus doesn't kick the disciples out and say, nah, you made a mistake, you gotta go. Moses doesn't kick Eldad and Medad out of the camp. God still works. God says, yeah, I know you like to control things. I know you like to have stuff in order, but God is God. We are not. He is at work. And we are privileged, humbled to be part of that work. That God still works, even in the ways that we think are right, even though we think they're maybe the only ways, but they're not, but we think they're right, God still works through them. Right? He works through the waters of holy baptism, where in the water and the word, faith is started and an amazing thing happens and somebody becomes a child of God. And then through the word, we hear it into our ear holes and it goes into our heart and faith is strengthened. These are ways we know and expect him to work. And he does. When we come to the table, we know and expect through faith that we are going to receive the body and blood of Christ. Our sins are going to be forgiven and our faith strengthened. We know that and we expect that. But that's not all. God works in ways we have no idea. His Holy Spirit on each and every one of us, when we go out there, God works in ways we can't imagine. I love hearing stories of surprise. When people call me or send me an email or something to say, you won't believe what happened, Pastor. I was in the line at Safeway, and this woman behind me said something about church, and I turned to her, and we had this conversation, and now she's coming. God at work, in a way you had no idea. You weren't expecting it, and yet there it is. And I won't say as a pastor, don't say that. Don't invite them to church. I won't say that. I won't tell you not to tell them about Jesus. I won't tell you to make sure that they're Lutheran before you speak to them. I won't make sure that everybody falls in line with doing things the right way. I've got enough to do. This is the way God works. He works in amazing ways. All around us, all the time, God is at work. And every now and then, He'll give you a glimpse. He'll let you see. He'll present an opportunity. And there it is. Line it safely. Sometimes it's in the bookstore or at the library. Sometimes it's over conversation and coffee with a friend. God at work. In ways that don't always line up with the way we think things ought to go, but in a way that God said, here it is. Here's an opportunity. And we, us sinners that we are, forgiven sinners with the wonderful grace of God and the Holy Spirit, we get to do that. We get to be part of His work in the world around us. We get to participate in what God is doing. Can you imagine? The one who created the universe says, I want you to do this. I want you to say this to this person. I want you to meet this person. It's an amazing gift to be part of the work of God today. Amen.